The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's Daf in Besechet Beitzah, brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Chavchet, and unfortunately we're a bit behind, and we're at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beit. Ein nimnim ala beimalech hatchila biyom tov. You're not allowed to join a partnership to buy an animal on Yom Tov. Aval nimnen ala yom erev Yom Tov. You could create the partnership erev Yom Tov, and then on Yom Tov itself, you bring the behemoth to the shechet, and you could split it. What exactly does this mean? Why ein nimnim? Om Revi Yudam Meshmo, what it means is, you don't split an animal by value. In other words, you can't say, okay, I'm going to take $20 of that animal, and you take $35, and so on. That you can't do, because that's uvda dechol. It's like mekach umemka, we aser, and this could be literally mekach umemka if you do it with the storekeeper, and so on. You can't do that. So what you can do, hechi yavid, what do you do? Omarav, look, it's very simple. You go into a store, you know, and it's what I often do in the Makolet, when you don't want to sit in a line. You bring two of the same product. You hand one to the kupa'i, walk out with the other one and say, I'm taking one of these. And let them charge it when they get around to it. So here too, you take two animals that are the same, bring them one next to the other, tell the storekeeper, zoo kazoo, we'll talk about it after Yom Tov. I'm taking this one. So you've got another animal with the same barcode, which he could deal with after Yom Tov, and then you'll know how much to pay. Tanya nami achi, lo yomar adam l'chaveiro, harini imcha b'sela. That's in terms of a storekeeper, but it's the same deal when you want to buy together as a group. Somebody owns an animal, you want part of it, you cannot say, okay, I'll take a dollar of the worth of the meat, I'll take $2. You could say, I'm going to take half, I'm going to take a third, I'm going to take a fourth. You'll notice that inflation has definitely ruined the meat prices. And if we're talking about a third for a dollar, oh yes. It's actually not even a dollar, this is a quarter. So Rabbi Yudaimer, Shokel Adam Basar Keneged HaKli or Keneged HaKofitz. What you could do is also, if you're selling meat, obviously not allowed to weigh it, which would be the normal Uvda Dechol Mekach Umemka, but you could take, let's say, a piece of meat and put your butcher knife on the other side of the scale and see that it weighs the same as the butcher knife. You know the butcher knife weighs 250 grams. Basically, you've given the guy 250 grams, and that's a shinui, and therefore it's not uvda dechol. Whereas the Chachamim say, you don't use a scale, period. Ein mashkichim bekaf rosnayim kol ikar. What do you mean, period? You know, what's this kol ikar? Just say, you don't use scale. You're obviously coming to say something that's even more extreme than we thought. Omer of Yehuda Meshul, you know what it means? It means even if the safest place to keep it away from mice and bugs is to have it hanging from this, a normal scale is actually hanging from the ceiling, you know, and it's difficult. I mean, they have found mice crawling down ladders, you know, little mice ladders. But most mice don't know how to do that. So the meat remains safer when it's hanging up there or where it's on a scale that's on some type of stand. But even that looks like you're trying to weigh it. But that, says Ravita Barovin, is only if it's talia betrit, only if it's on the triangle, which, you know, which supports it, that makes it a scale. I mean, if it's just to use the basket of a scale that's not in position to weigh, I mean, that doesn't look like you're planning on weighing it. The Omer, if you don't Meshmuel, Tabach Uman, if you are a professional, then you know how to estimate weights by holding one weight in the hand and the meat in the other, and you're able to really get very close by not even using a scale, just using your hands. The Rosh learns that, and this is how we paskin, that this means you can't even use a single hand, not weighing it, because, and you see this all the time, the storekeepers, it's brilliant, they get within a gram or two just holding it in their hands. It's really very impressive. You know, I'd say you got 250 grams there, you know, and it's 251 or something. So even that, for a tabachumat, since what you do is you lift it up and down to catch the inertia, the effect of the mass on your hand, you don't have to be a physicist to do that. People actually know these things about knowing. So you move it up and down. So that's the Yuvdil Chol already for someone who's a professional, because there he's doing his kidarka. Furthermore, Omer of Yeram Shmuel Tabach. Now this Oman is taken out by many of the Pesach, including the Rif, because what we're talking about over here is Archimedes, and you do not have to be an Oman to use Archimedes. What you do is simply you have a container of water that is marked in milliliters. Put in a piece of meat. The displaced water is the weight, basically, of the meat, as Archimedes discovered. Eureka! And by doing so, any idiot can look at knowing the weight. If it's 22 milliliters, then obviously it was 22 grams of meat that had been put in there. Why does it have to be an Oman? So that's basically just a trick of how to weigh, which of course is why the weights were, the entire metric system is to interrelate those things. It's how much weight of water and the volume of the water, so that each milliliter would be that weight. Okay, anyway, so it doesn't make sense to put Oman over here. Asur la'asot beit yad bibasar. Normally, this we pass is only for a butcher, not for a balabayit. Normally, when he would sell you the meat in the days before packaging and barcodes, you would get your meat with a handle, except that the handle was made out of meat. You put a little cut in there, you could stick your fingers through, and you can very conveniently carry your package of steak right there without even needing to cover it. How do you like that? You can't do that either. That looks like Uvdil Chol. So Asur la'asot beit yad bibasar.
The six-pack of Coke.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Here we go. Ravina. But you can poke your fingers through it, you know, and then take it by having what to grab onto. You're also very often you need to indicate in terms of kashrut or reliability. You give somebody a piece of meat that you just bought in butcher store to take home. How do you know it's not going to replace it, exchange it by something that's cheaper or not kosher, whatever the case may be? So people would cut the meat in particular ways.
Where we just saw that, where somebody cut the meat in a triangle.
That's where we're at, yeah. So, kihada rabba baravunim b'chatechla tzlat karnata, which is exactly what he used to do. He used to cut it as triangles. Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, shoklin mana keneged mana b'yom tov. Now, Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, you were splitting a piece of meat. They would actually weigh on a scale. They would weigh the meat, putting a piece of meat on one side and a piece of meat on the other side and make sure it was the same weight. They wouldn't weigh how much, but they would weigh that they got an equal portion. Hey, wait a minute. That doesn't work out according to anybody in the Mishnah here. That's loka Rebbe Yehuda v'lokra, but because Rebbe Yehuda says that you could be shokel keneged akli or keneged akufitz, and that is something that normally is not done in the store. So that's keneged akli, yes, but not keneged midi achrini. You can't use other things, which may be kedarka, to do it that way when you're splitting something. And then it's the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say you don't get near a scale, period, remember? So how were they paskening? Not like either Tana. Inu de Avid Krib Yoshua. They were being semech on the psak of yet a third Tana. The Tanya Rabbi Yoshua Omer, shoklin mona keneged mona biyomto. You can split equally your portions using a scale. And Rav Yosef says the halacha is like Rav Yoshua because the Mishnah in Masechet Bechorot basically says that. The Tznan beBechorot Kavate, the Tznan, Psulei HaMukdashim. Now, normally, an animal that belongs to Hekdesh should be treated with respect, even when it's Psulei HaMukdashim. You're allowed to sell Psulei HaMukdashim. Are you allowed to weigh it in a butcher shop? Well, you are, even though that's treating it in a very low-class fashion. But who makes money on that sale? Hegdash. Because people will pay more for the pidyon, obviously, if they're able to sell it in a butcher shop. They're going to pay much less if they're going to have to give it out with, I think you got approximately a kilo here, and the guy's going to argue with you and say, give me a little bit more. So then you're going to basically pay 20% less. So in order to allow Hegdash to make more money, it's kedai to, God help us. It's like living in a barn. So cottage cheese, that would do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right in his mouth.
Yeah.
He sounds aggressive. Sit down.
Don't be aggressive with the cottage cheese.
So because of that, since Hanatam Lahegdesh, it's mutter. But how about a Bechor? A Bechor is Besulei HaMukdashim. But you're not allowed to sell it because Hegdash doesn't make the money. The money, the value of the Bechor goes to the Kohen. So who gets to keep it? How do you sell that? So it says that what you do is you're allowed to weigh money keneged money on a Bechor. So you can use a piece of meat, you can split it. So over there, obviously, that's not considered to be a Nuvda Dechol, which would be a Bizoyan for Kodesh. I'm like, by now, I don't see Rabbi Yosef's point. He's saying that Rabbi Yoshua by Myontev is the equivalent of the Psak of Bechor. But don't malone, I'd kind of come Rabbi Yoshua Hocha out of the Lek of Bizoyan Kachim. I mean, maybe Rabbi Yeshua is making Lagabe Yonta, because you don't have to be that machmer. I mean, over here, you're really allowed to do things that you need to eat, and there's no issue of Bizoyan Kachim, but maybe Rabbi Yeshua would have argued on that Psak in the Mishnah in Bechorot, and would have said, look, Bizoyan Kachim and a Bechor, we don't even allow you to split a piece of meat evenly with somebody. And, or you could say just the opposite. You could say the Tana of the Mishnah about the Bechor would not be matir for Yontif. You could say, Ad kamakam rabbananata, elamishum delo mirziku uvdin dechol. Over there, he's talking about sale. You don't walk into a store and be shokel money can I get money. You want to see it on the scale. But here we're talking about splitting. That was the case, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe. So if you're splitting, that's the way you normally split. You don't care what it weighs objectively. You just want to make sure you get the same amount. So then maybe it would be kuvd in dechol. I don't see that there's any connection between these two sukkahs. Wait a minute. This is a very strange story, says the Gemara. Because you're basically telling us that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe cared about who got the bigger piece. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, the Meimer de Kapte Adari, but we happen to know from a story about how little they were makbid one on the other. Because Rabbi Chiya, I mean, this was like an amazing maisa. They brought to Rebbe, of course, was the house that used to get the finest produce, and they once brought 7 beautiful fish to Rebbe's house. Sure, they couldn't get in the fish market. And guess what? 5 of them ended up in Rabbi Chiya's kitchen, you know? And there comes along Reb Shimon, who is Rebbe's son. You know, he sees the 7 fish had been brought to Dad's kitchen. It was supposed to be his lunch. Did he say anything to Reb Chiya? My God, couldn't you at least have left us the 5 and you take 2? No, he didn't say anything. He was very happy to see that Reb Chiya enjoyed the fish from the kitchen. So Mamela, how is it possible they would sit and weigh pieces of meat to the gram? That makes no sense. So Otovishtaka Chamesh Minayo Be Rebbe Chiya Velo Kopin Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe. Omer of Papa, you're right. This story makes absolutely no sense. Clearly, one or the other of these people has been misidentified. So Shti Gav Rebbe Nayo, put somebody else here. I mean, it's either Rebbe Chiya, who might have had a story like this happen with Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, who he was friendly with. It might be Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe, and the Maisa would have been with Bar Kapporo, who he didn't want to give him any benefit of the doubt. After all, the Tsaras Bar Kapporo made him in his wedding. And so because of that, yeah, maybe they were being shaykel money, can I get money? Zok de Hele Kamishna, Ein Mashchizin Et HaSakin B'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov, but you could be meshtiya al gavei chaverta. You could rub one knife on the other, which always looks very interesting, you know, chak, 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 and everybody's really impressed that you're, you know, you're getting that knife ready to cut with, but it doesn't really do anything. Omar Ravuna, Loshana l'bamashkezet shalev. When do we say you're not allowed to use a sharpener? That's a real sharpener that's made out of stone, and it does the job. A mashkezet shel eitz is itself a shinui. It's not the derech of being mashkez, and so mamela, it's not uvda dechol, and it's mutter. Omer Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, when you say, hadi amrit, that Evan is osir, it's only usher if you're using it for sharpening. If what you're trying to do is get rid of the oily coating on the knife, and that's a very good way of getting rid of the oil, that you're allowed to do. You can rub it over the mashchezet because it definitely will remove the oil. And now if this is correct, then the implication is that you can use, when it said mashchezet shel eitz, so the mashchezet shel eitz that Ravuna was saying would be mutter, even if it really is mechadeda. Because since it's not the normal way that you're mechadeda, so it's considered to be a shinoi, and it would be mutter. However, you should know that some bring this maimer of Shmuel not on the part of Hoda Amarta shel Evan Asur, but rather on the Seifa, which is b'shel eitz mutar. According to this, it's a big chumra, because Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel in this version would say that, where did Ravuna say that shel eitz is mutar? That's only where you're rubbing the knife across the wood to clean off the oily coating that's on the knife. But to actually use it for sharpening, any sharpening at all, even on wood, would be an uvda dechol, would be osur. So bechal de b'shel evan, afilu lahavir sham nunita would be osur. That would imply that the first part that says you mustn't use a sharpener of stone sharpener, that would be true for any purpose, even for getting rid of the oily coating. Now, actually, there's a third approach as to where Shmuel had made his comment, and some read his comment on the Mishnah directly and not on the Maimer of Ravuna. So, the Mishnah simply says, "Ein mashkizin et asakin b'yom tov." And on that, Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel as saying, "When do you not do hashchaza? That's only lechadada. Aval ha'avir sham nunita is mutar." In which case, the continuation of the Mishnah that says, but you are allowed to slide one knife over the other, there it would be afilu lechadada. It's a shinoi, and it's also mutter. Some, and in this version, this is yet the fourth version, but this is the antipode of the second approach, in which some are matne la aseifa. The seifa says you're allowed to have one knife rubbed across the other, and in this version, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, that's only if you're rubbing them to clear off the oil. But to actually do the pu'ul of hashchaza would be osir, even one knife on the other. And according to this, it would mean that the reisha that said not to use the sharpener would mean not to use a sharpener shel evan, even for shamnunit. Now, what is the problem of sharpening a knife? Is it not needed for ochel nefesh? So now the question is this. We've already seen numerous times we've tripped over this sugya, but we never really got into it deeply. Is ochel nefesh a heter only for the direct ochel nefesh, or is it a heter for anything that is needed for ochel nefesh, or in the words of the Gemara, machshirei ochel nefesh, that which makes ochel nefesh possible? Now, having a sharp knife is part of the normal need for preparing ochel nefesh. If you hold machshirei ochel nefesh is also mutter, there ought to be no problem at all of using a sharpener, unless, we have the other question, which we dealt with again many times, things that could be done before Yom Tov. Are they doable on Yom Tov? So we have a number of different levels of this question. And therefore, the Gemara asks, Mantana de Mimash Chezet Asur. Well, who is this, so that we can clarify the Shitot? Om Rav Kista, well, one thing is it's clearly not like Reb Yehuda, because the Tanya, and this is the source text for that entire sugya, Ein Ben Yom Tov LeShabbat Ela Ochol Nefesh Bilvad. The only difference, and this is actually a Mishnah, so it could say it's none. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is questions of doing melacha for Ochol Nefesh. And Reb Yehuda says, even Makshirei Ochol Nefesh. Amalei Rava L'Rav Chista, so Rava said to Rav Chista, you know, people are quoting you as saying the halacha is like Reb Yehuda. Darshina Mishimcha, halachak Reb Yehuda, you're allowed to do even Makshirei Ochol Nefesh. Amalei said, Rav Chista, well, if they would only quote me with things like that, I'd be really happy. They usually quote me with all kinds of perverted halachas. That one happens to be right. Yehi Rava, may it be the Lord's will. The Cholki Ani Mili Malyata, all good Piskei halachas like that should be said in my name. It happens to be true. The halacha is like Reb Yehuda. Now the question, however, is whether we can paskin straight out like Rebbe. This leads us into the issue of why would you be sharpening the knife on Yontav if you could have sharpened the knife Erev Yontav? Now, there's two things that might happen to a knife. It may become blunted, which was a gradual process. And at that point, you know, we might excuse your thinking, well, it's not all that blunt yet. And then finally, on Yontav, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. Or it may have gotten an actual pagam in the socket, which causes it to catch. That can happen instantly. So there would be a big difference of if there was a pagam before Yontav, there's no excuse for leaving it till today. If it was blunting gradually, there is an excuse for leaving it today. You don't immediately redo your knife every single day. You press a little harder, right? Okay, so this leads us into the next sukkah. There I was, standing in front of Rava, and he was marvelous sakina, apumadidikul. He was rubbing his knife on the edge of a basket, or stiff wood. And I asked him, are you doing that to be mechadet sakin, or are you trying to clean the knife off? And he said, who, me? Oh, I was only trying to clean my knife. Now, it was very clear to me that he was trying to sharpen that knife, you know. And chaziti l'dayte, I saw that his real intent was that he wanted l'chadadaka of it. He was actually trying to sharpen it, which meant that what he was doing was communicating one thing verbally and another thing between the lines. And that would be because kasara halacha, the Emorim king. He held that the halacha was like Reb Yehuda. But if he had told it to me in that fashion, I would have assumed that I'm allowed to go around saying Nalach is like Reb Yehuda. But we don't paskin that barabim. Because the reason is that since even Reb Yehuda was made that anything that could have been done before Yontav needed to be done before Yontav, and most makshirei ochol nefesh can be done before Yontav, he didn't want to be mater straight out like Reb Yehuda, because then people would leave things for Yontav. And Reb Yehuda wasn't mater things that could have been done there of Yontav. And the same thing happened with Abaye. Abaye says, I was in front of Rabba. Abaye came to Kamei Mar, and Havi Kamar Basakina Svata Derechaya. He was rubbing his knife on the edge of the mill, and I said to him, are you trying to sharpen that knife? So is it Lachadada Kaboymar or Lahavir Shamnunita? And he said, oh, I'm just trying to get it clean. But I could see that that wasn't the truth. Chaziti l'dayte, d'lechadadaka avit, v'kasara halacha ve'in morimke. Ne'iboyelu, ma'u lahar ot saki l'chacham biyomtav. Normally, the butcher has got to show the knife, and this was a takona that they made, b'shum kvodo shol chacham, and it's part of a tikkun hatzibur, that you don't start doing your shechita unless a chacham comes in and checks that knife and gives a heksher for the day's shechita.
Every day.
Yeah, comes in, and this is done all over. You go to a shlachtais, chacham walks in, everybody presents the knife, and that's marin the sakin lechacham. So are you allowed to do that, or is that itself a guv d'dachol? So Rav Mori, bereder of Bizna, sure, he held it was mutter. Rabbanan said it was aser, and Rav Yosef said, look, I'll tell you very simply what to do halacha l'maisa. The Talmud Chacham can be re'ala atzmo, as if he wants to shecht. And then, if somebody needs a knife to shecht, instead of doing it as if he's paskening, okay, we can now open the business, lend them your knife that you looked at for yourself, so to speak, and basically you achieve the same end while making a shinoi and avoiding elements of Uvda Rechav. The Amr of Yosef, sakin she'amda. Now, there's a big difference between a sakin she'nifgema and a sakin she'amda. A sakin she'amda means it has stopped working. It's no longer sharp. That is mutter lechadada biyomta. But that's only if, if you're able to use this knife by pressing down hard, then that means that it may have reached the stage that broke the camel's back today. And therefore, you didn't sharpen it yesterday because it was still working. It's finally too blunt to be comfortable. But if it literally won't cut, then yesterday it was blunt. And then you should have sharpened it yesterday. Dorash Rav Chisdvi, Tevra of Yosef, Echad Sakin Shenivgema. Now, this is a different halacha. Nivgema means it got an actual nick in the sakin. That happens in a moment. That happens today. Or Eshpod, that was near Tzam. So this shpod now became broken at the tip where you have to fit it into the other side. It's a spit, and or it's bent. Or a tanur, that very often the coating of the tanur, the cement that you throw on it, when it's not cement, what do they call it? But the plaster, the inside of the tanur, and it keeps falling in. And that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that, the relearns that it's literally a question of Rashi Yegumais, which means it would be the ongoing process of taking out, which often happens in the matzah ovens. You know, find little pieces of cement in the matzah that falls in from the every year they put a hole, falls in from the oven. And but Tosfos says that that's very strange, because if the problem is Ashviye Gumot, then it would mean that you're dealing with the floor of the tanur, which is the ground. They didn't used to have a bottom. Remember, they put the tanur directly on the ground, and it kept the heat in it. So therefore, Tosfos is talking about a brand new tanur, which has a bunch of junk on the bottom from the processing and the plastering. And there, cleaning it out the first time would be a problem of makiba patish. This is the Gemara Malacha. There already it would be similar to Kaili, not to Ashviya Guma Tzankarka. All the other cases are cases of Kalim. It's difficult to believe, says to put the three together like that. So, okay, Sakin and Shpud and Tanur are all Kalim. And the deal over there would be, and the same thing would be of the Kirayim, the upper oven. The question of whether are we allowed to do those things on Yom Tov is a function of the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbon. And once again, this gets us to another issue. To Tanya, we bring up our same Mishnah, actually, that Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbat El Ochel Nefesh Bovad, and Rabbi Yehuda's Mater Af Makshiri Ochel Nefesh. Now, the bright time here, we see what is the Tanya, actually goes on to explain. My time at the Tanya Kama. So why does the Tanya Kama say it's all a function of Ochel Nefesh, not Makshiri Ochel Nefesh? Because it says in the Pasuk, Hu levado yaseh lechem. Now, obviously, that pasuk is trying to say this and only this. And let's not extend this too far. Therefore, it says only this. What do I mean, only this? Only this means only the direct ochel nefesh yaseh lechem. Velo makshirav. So the pasuk is gufa coming to tell me that ye'achel lechol nefesh, and not what might be needed for ye'achel lechol nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda, amen. Omar Kro, Lachem. Well, why do you think it says Lachem? Why can't it say Ulevado Yaseh? So Yaseh Lachem, it means whatever you need to do. It's your Lachem, it's your holiday. You do what you need to do. And that is coming to tell me, Lachot Tzarchichem, whatever you need to do. So basically we have a pasuk that on the one hand is trying to limit, on the other hand is trying to extend the heter. So let's see how each one learns the other piece. V'tana Kama. The Tanakhama said this and only this. How did they explain the fact that it says Lachem, which implies the whole Torchachem? No, says the Tanakhama, Lachem doesn't mean that. Lachem means to say only for you guys, the Jews, but you can't do Ochel Nefesh for Nochrim. Fine. And what, when it says who? What does Rabbi Yehuda do with the who, which is limiting? Aktiv who? Omar lacha, let's take a look at this in context, okay? On the one hand, the pasuk is saying who. On the other hand, it's saying lachem. So, how do you explain it? I will tell you very simply. You're allowed to do anything you need to do, as long as you couldn't do it before Yom Tov. That's the point. So, kama makshim she'efshar la'asot amirav Yom Tov, kama makshim she'efshar la'asot amirav Yom Tov. So, on the one hand, the pasuk is saying, don't extend it outwards to include makshirim, but on the other hand, it's saying, do, and exclude, and include makshirim. I'd explain that. Makshirim that are needed on Yom Tov, you can do. Makshirim that could have been done before, you cannot do. Now, lokal ha'maisa, Shulchan Aruch paskes, indeed, this way, like Rabbi Yehuda, excluding makshirim that would have shalasot the mer of Yom Tov. And the Ramah, as usual, is machmir a bit. And he brings that there are those who understand that the drasha here of not what could have been done on Erev Yom Tov includes even ochel nefesh gufa that could have been done on Erev Yom Tov. Not only machshira ochel nefesh could have been done on Erev Yom Tov. Anything that could have been prepared on Erev Yom Tov. And yet, it's rushed. You want to have a little bit of relaxation. You do it tomorrow. When I got a wound cholamayit, you put it off. You're not allowed to do. Okay. So some are machmir like that. In any event, let's continue on over here, more about the broken kelim, or partially broken kelim, functional or non-functional. Omrei v'yirav shmul shpud, shenir tzaf, asur l'tak no b'yom tov. You can't fix a bent shpud. Let's say we have a metal shpud here. You can't bend it into place. Well, obviously you can't. I mean, you're not allowed to fix kelim. Yeah, jita, that's tikkun mane, worse than of them. No, we're talking about, but obviously we're not talking about taking a hammer and banging it to shape. It's a little bent, so your natural tendency is you take it and you bend it back in your hands and put it back in, which you think is just part of the normal process. That's what he's talking about. That since it's usable, as we'll see, it can be used as is. Download Sikhdafagat the Pash Kamaf should be other. Yomer of Yonam Shmuel, Shput. Not only this, you've got a spit that has been used. Now it's filthy. You're not even allowed to move it on Yom Tov. Ravada, Barav, Omer of Malkio. Well, you can move it Gila Acher Yad, push it into a corner, and that would be okay. Omer of Kiyo Barashi, Omer of Una. Well, that's only if you could manage to find a kazayas and meat on it. So even though it's disgusting, you don't really, but that much we allow you, but even that, we don't allow you to be metalto, shalo kedarka. Ravina says there's no problem because spits are sharp. We don't leave sharp things around. There's no such thing as asr when you have broken glass in the house, you're going to leave broken glass around because it's mukta. And then shpud is like a broken glass. So therefore, afal pi she'ein alav bas, you're allowed to move it. Mutar l'tatalo. If you find a kotz that can hurt someone in the middle of shesarab, it's like, well, I'm not allowed to move it. Of course you're allowed to move it. It's dangerous. Someone can get hurt on it. So you're allowed to be metalto. The same thing is true over here. Amrav kinina b'rei d'ravika. By the way, you'll notice that the ma'amar that we had over here was Omer of Adabarava, Omer of Malkio, right? Shomto Menichu B'Kiran Zavit. There were two Amoraim, one B'Shem Malkio and one B'Shem Malkiya, who were contemporaries. And because of the similarity of their names and also the recent unisex movement, everybody would confuse Remalkio, the male, with Remalkia, the female. And so because of that, we attempted to try to make a simon to remember who said what, because otherwise we get hopelessly confused. So Rav Chinina b'rei d'Ravika said, Shpud, Shvachot, v'Gumot was all said by Rav Malkio. And then a Shpud, that's what we just said over here, about the question of whether you can move a spit. Shvachot is a psak halacha that Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, who says that even if a woman, it comes from a very rich family, you marry her and she brings 100 shvachot to work for her as part of her dowry. Any intimate things, making your bed and so on, the husband can insist that she has to do, basically. And that's because the worst possible thing for a marriage is to have a woman who has nothing to do. It's a disaster. And it's baby li day zima and so on and so forth. And therefore, so that psak, like that shita in the Mishnah, is what we're referring to as shvachot. Gumot is the question of how to determine whether a girl who was a ktana, had she reached puberty or not. So there we have the shita that says that if you can find hair follicles, even though there's no pubic hair, says Ramalko, there's no such thing as a developed hair follicle that didn't have hair in it. You don't find a follicle, it must have been pubic hair, and hair always falls out, and gradually other hair grows and takes its place. So this is not a ketana, she could do chalitza. That's gumot. Now, blurit, the question of a barber who has a goy who comes in with his Hare Krishna haircut there, you know. So in those days, all of the Avodah Zarah people had these strange haircuts. One was a blurit with a big shock of mohawk, you know, in the middle. You're not allowed to make that because that's already doing something for Avodah Zarah. The question is, how close can you get? So he paskin shalosh etzbaot, and that psak about blurit. Efer mikla, which is the question of taking as an antiseptic, which would basically be the way we use activated charcoal. So you burn a piece of wood, you take the ash while it's hot and clean, and you put it directly onto a wound, which helps protect the wound and helps heal the wound. However, it also leaves a mark, and it's similar to be ketovet kaka. It's like making a tattoo for a while. It gets under the skin, and therefore he asered it. And the din of gvina, or the explanation of why did they aser gvina of akum. One of the explanations that Ramalkia gives is that gvina of akum was aser because it's coated with lard to give it that shiny sheen on the outside to protect. Whereas Rav Papa says, not quite, my friends. The rule is that anything that was said about a Mishnah or a Braita was said by Rav Malkiya. Anything that was said on a discussion by Amoraim, which is a Shmaitata, was said by Rav Malkiyo. And you can easily remember that because Mishnah is the queen. The Simanecha Matnitin Malkita, and the queen is obviously Rav Malkiya, whereas Rav Malkiyo would never be a queen, at least not in those days, and therefore he was not the one who said it. And that's the difference. What is the difference? Well, the difference would be shvachot. Because according to what Rav Papa is saying, since shvachot is a psak about a shita in a Mishnah, it would have to have been said by Rav Malkiya, and not by Rav Malkiyo, whereas Rav Chanina claimed that it was said by Rav Malkiyo. Now, Tosfos points out, but why does it only say that? Ephraim Mikla is a discussion between Amoraim, which according to this, should have been said by Ramalkio. And over here he's reporting it as Ramalkia. Now, the most likely reasonable answer of Tosas is that obviously what we're saying is switch the two. The middle of the three is switched by Rav Papa, so that we substitute the Ephraim Mikla as Shmaitata, and we give it over to Ramalkio. We take Shvachot, which was the middle case, and we bring it over to Ramalkia, and we still have 3 plus 3. So that gets really nice. Ein imin malabim alakat chila biyom tov alval nimnim alayam erev yom tov v'shohatin umchalkin v'nehem. My ein nimnim Shmuel ein poskin damim. So what should you do? Amarab mivishte beimot mamidam zetzazev. Omer zokiso and make a cheshbon after yomta. Tani nami yochi lo yomar adam lachavera areni imcha besela areni imcha b'shtayim avlomer lo areni imcha lamechza lishlish lorovia, and then you figure out the costs later. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shokel Adam Basar Keneged Akli or Keneged Akufitz. Chachamim Omrim Ein Mashkichim Bekaf Bozayin Kolika. What's this Kolika? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Afilu Leshabro Mina Achbarim. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Barav In Vehu Detalya Betreat. Otherwise, it's not a Bishkolet. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Tabach Oman Asur Leshkol Even Biyad Basar. V'yom Rav Yeram Shul Tabach Asur Lishkol Basar B'Mayim. V'yom Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Asur Lasot Beit Yad B'Basar. Om Ravina, but you could poke your finger through the side and carry it like that. V'yom Amar Ravuna Mutar Lasot Siman B'Basar Ki Hada Rabba Bar Ravuna B'Chatech La'atlat Karnata. Rav Chiya Bar Shimon Bar Rebbe used to be shokling Mona Keneged Mona B'Yom Tov to see that they got even portions. What? Come on. Look, Rebuta, look, Rabbanan, because Ik Rebuta, Omer shel kel adam basar keneged hakli, or keneged hakofi. It's that, yes, but keneged midei achronim lo. And ikar rabbanan, they say in mashgichim bekavon zayim kol ikar. Yes, but they found a third tana. Inu diavik Rabbi Yeshua, the tani Rabbi Yeshua omer shel kli mode keneged mona biyom. Tavamer Rabbi Yosef aloch Rabbi Yeshua hov etzlan bivchorot kavatei etzlan psulei amukdashim anatam lehegdash, and therefore you can weigh them. But Bechor, which is not, you can only be shokel mona keneged mona. Maybe there's a big difference between the two sugyas. Akam lokom Rabbi Yoshua lagabe yontev. Fine, because there's no bizayin kachim. But maybe hechad ike bizayin kachim, he wouldn't allow anyway. And even basar keneged basar. Inami. Akam lokom Rabbi Yoshua lagabe yontev. Akam lokom Rabbi Yoshua lagabe yontev. Where it's mirzik uvden dechol, where people are splitting. I mean, they always split by equals, not by specific weight. So maybe that could be Ivdin Echo, so maybe Lo. Wait a minute, you know, the whole story doesn't even make sense. Remember the Capri, don't they? I mean, we know the famous case of the seven fish that came to Rebbe's house, and Reb Chiya walked out with five of them, and Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe was happy with that. Amr of Papi, you're right. Shti Gav Rebbe Nayo. Maybe it was Rebbe Chiya, but then it would have had to have been Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, not Rebbe Shimon Bar Rebbe. Well, if it was Rebbe Shimon Bar Rebbe, it would have had to have been with Bar Kappara, but not with Rebbe Chiya. Ein mashch izinat asakin biyom tov, aval meisya gabei chavarta. Om Ravuna lo shana lo b'mashchezet shel evan. Mashchezet shel eitz would be mutar. Om Ravuna mashmuel, ha de amet shel evan osur is only if the intent is l'chad adah. But lahavir shamnunit is mutar, which would imply that bishal eitz afil chadadana. I mean, mutar, others say, on the contrary, he's referring to the sefer. Bishal eitz mutar, and about that said Rabbi Yonah Bar Shmuel, hadar bishal eitz mutar is only lahavir shamnunita. But lachadada would be also, which implies that bishal evan afil lahavir shamnunita would be also. Others, on the other hand, take the whole maimer of Shmuel, put it on the mission. So mutar, which would imply that the second part of the Mishnah, Gabi Chavreta, would be mutar afilu l'chadadanami. Which would imply that a mashchezet would be us under all circumstances. I feel love Yerusha Nunitaz. Mantana, that by a mashchezes it's osur at all, even though it's makshiri yochol nefesh, om rav chista dolok rav yudah detanya, ein beim yotov l'shabbat ala ochol nefesh bovat, rav yudah matir even makshiri yochol nefesh. Om le rav al rav chista, darshina mishimcha aloch rav yudah. Om ala, you know, I'm willing to take on my shoulders anything that is beautiful piske alochas like that. Ye Rav the Kolkian in Milamal Yata should always be quoted in my name. Omer Rabbi Nechemah Bered Rabbi Yosef Havkim Nekamed Rav, and he was sitting there on the Kamav El Sakin HaPomer Dikula, and I asked him, sir, are you doing that L'chadada or L'avir Sham Nunita? And he says to me, wink wink, L'avir Sham Nunita. But Chazit Yil Adaitet was really doing L'chadada, which means Kesara Alokha Ve'in Morim Kein. Abaye reports the same story with Rabba and Ave Kamina Kamidamar, Ave Kamavir Sakina Asfot Direchaya, Amel Alachadito Kaboimar, Ola Havir Shamnunita. And he claimed to me, Le Havir Shamnunita, but I could tell that in reality it was Lachadito Kaavi, because Savra Lacha Vein Morin King, Iboilu. Mahu Lahar Ot Sakin Lachacham Beyond. So Mori Bered of Business Sharp. Rabbon and Asr, Rabbi Yosef says, simple solution. Talmud Chacham, should be royally atzma, and mashilah l'achirim. V'am Rav Yosef, a sakin that was blunted, was omda, mutil l'charada b'yomta, because it's a slow process. But that's animili that still is at least sharp enough to cut agav ducha, to paska agav ducha. Dorash Rav Chisvite, Rav Yosef, echad sakin sheniv nyema, echad shpud shenir tzam, V'chad grifat tanur v'kirayim b'yom tov is a function of the machlokas of Rabbi Yudah v'Rabbanan about makshir yochol nefesh. T'tanya, Ein ben yotav l'shabbat el ochel nefesh bavad. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Apakshir el ochel nefesh. My time in the Tanakhama will crop. Hu levadon yaselachem. Hu means this. What is this? Yeh ochel nefesh, but not makshiri. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Omer crop lachem. Lachem means whatever you need, man. So the Tanakhama k'siv lachem. Yes, lachem is only Jews, but not for goy. Virach nami aktiv hu. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, I mean, think about it. On the one hand, the pasuk is saying hu, on the other hand, saying lachem. So what does that mean? Obviously, on one hand, we are able to be expansive and be matir makshir. There must be makshirim that are also. So what could that be? Kam b'makshir shevshar l'asot amir av yom tov. Kam b'makshir shevshar l'asot amir av yom tov. Omri v'yiro m'shmur shput sh'nir tzaf asul atak no b'yom tov. M'pshita. Says, well, you can move it kilachri yad. Shomto minichu bekeren zavi. Ravina says, no, it makes no difference. Avo bishena lav kizayit basar. It's mutil atato because it's dangerous. And midin avi akotz brishut rabbi. Om Rav Chinen Abereda Rav Yikashput, Shvachot, and Gumot was said by Rav Malkiyo. Bluri Tei from Mikla and Gvina was said by Rav Malkiyo. Rav Papa says, it's a simple equation here. A Mishnah or a Braita that was commented on is all Rav Malkiyo's. Shemaitita is between Amorayim is all Rav Malkiyo. And the Simon is the Matniten is always the Malkita. My benayu, ikibenayu shvachot, and Tosis points out that Efer Mikla is the one that might be exchanged with shvachot, which is because it's really shmaitata and therefore works out well if it's Ramalki O.
Like an Ora Haman, you know, thanks to Mesrala, all types of things.
Today's daf is daf Chofres. Wish everyone keach, deal with all these issues. And of course, a very special regards to Gary Alon. How's it?
Where is it?
Exactly. Yeah, we're wondering if you were coming over for Kiddush on Shabbat there, Alon. Yeah. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah on the top, and because unfortunately Saba Josh is sitting Shiva today, we will have maybe Rabbi Yaakov give us. Rabbi Yaakov is next to mine.
The elder
coming. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Shokel Adam Basar Keneged Hakli, O Keneged Hakofit, V'chachamim Omrim Ein Meshgichim Bekaf Muzvayim Kolikav. So here the question is, yesterday we were talking about Darkei Mechira, and that this is Osir, either to be maskir, a value, if you're being Mechalek Basar, or you're taking something from a Chenveni. But the question is, if you're Mechalek Beinayim, it says you can give them out their portions of the last Mishnah, can you weigh it? It turns out the Mishnah is saying that weighing itself is considered to be it Osir, as part of the Surin of Mekechu Memka, but you can weigh in a strange fashion. So let's say you can take a kli, weigh your, you have your butcher knife, put your butcher knife on one side of the weight, and put the piece of meat on the other, and then after yontiv, you'll see how much the knife weighs, or even in some even if you know in advance, but it's not the derech that you do it before. Whereas the chachamim say, absolutely not. There's nothing, you have nothing to do with a scale on yontiv at all. Now we'll see what that means at all. My colleague, what does it mean not at all? Even to put something up in the scales that the rats can't get to it, you can't do that either, because the whole thing looks essentially like you're going to be Isaac and Masav and Matan on Yontem. We asked it. That's dafke if the scale is already attached with its chain to the hanging device. So over there, it looks like a scale. I mean, otherwise, just the fact that this happens to be the holding thing you usually use for your scale, I mean, that's not exaggerated. yad. A very well, an expert, tabach, who knows already how to sense with his hands, they can weigh one piece connected to the other piece, even in their hands. That's how Rashi learns. So he himself becomes the scale, and he's not allowed to do that. Others learn that it means mamish, even without weighing one connected to the other. And he gets, he has a sense of weight. He knows when he's holding a kilo of meat, and therefore he shouldn't use even his hands to get an accurate reading on the meat. For Omar, reviewed our Meshmul Tabach Uman Asulishko Basar B'mayim. Actually, the Girsa of many of the Rishonim in Halacha is that they leave out the Tabach Uman, and that Bechlal it's Asulishko Basar B'mayim, because what that means is to get the volume reading on the meat. If there's a standard, of course, you have water in a container that has a scale on the side of how high it goes if you put in the meat. So when you know the volume of the meat, you basically could translate that pretty exactly into the Mishkan. The Yomer of Chia Barashi, Asur Lasod Beit Yad Bibasar. Now, this is something nobody has figured out in our days. You see, here we're figuring ways that you could save money on bags. You know, they make it bring your own container, or you have to pay extra for the plastic bag. They had a perfect data. Sell somebody a piece of meat, and then you cut a handle in the meat, and he carries the meat home with the handle on the meat, you see. So you're not allowed to do this, because it's also, it's like the Yovdidachol, it's the way in which you would normally do the buying and selling, and therefore you can't do that on Yantiv at all. On Maravino Biyada Shari, you could poke a hole through the meat with your hand, I mean, then carry it like that, but can't make a professional looking handle on the meat. When you're cutting the meat, you can cut it in a way that you can recognize your pieces. Like, for instance, the Rabbi Bar Avuna was always mechatech latlat kanata. Rabbi Bar Avuna always used to have his meat cut as a triangle. That way everybody knew when it was delivered that was his meat and wouldn't get confused with anybody else's. Yeah, he would have it cut that way. By the way, if you don't know what a triangle looks like, they were kind enough to put a little illustration of a triangle. I'm sure this is very helpful to people. And Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe, they would measure their pieces in terms of weighing them to be similar. In other words, they themselves would bring b'chalek basar. Okay, I don't know how much it weighs, but I mean, I'm taking a piece, you're taking a piece, it should be the same. So they would weigh a piece connected to the other piece. Says the Gemara, wait. That doesn't work out of leaving the mission at all. Come on, look rebuta, look rabbana. Ika rebuta. I mean, even rebuta in the mission over here that's matir weighing. It's aomish, okeladam basar, connected a kof. I mean, there, it's the derech to weigh it against the weight. Because you're selling. In terms of buying and selling, you make a shinui to take a cup or a hammer or your butcher knife. It's okay. So that's clear-cut change. The kofit is a butcher knife.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, one of those... Cleaver. Yeah. So even they're saying only keneged ha-kofits and keneged ha-kli, but keneged mili achri. Lo, you can't use an actual piece which you have a weight. So over here, to make them similar weights, that would be the derech that you do it for chalukah. That's the standard. I want the same weight that you have. I don't care what the weight is, but I'm weighing it up against your piece. And according to the Rabbanan, it's even worse. I mean, the Rabbanan, the Mishnah said, Amrei mashgicha b'kap v'zayim kol ikar. You're not even allowed to use it to keep something away from the mice or whatever. Inu d'avik Rabbi Yoshua. You're right. They were relying on a shita that isn't mentioned here, which is Rabbi Yoshua shita. The tiny Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, shoklin mona k'neged mona b'yom tov. That you are allowed, not b'derech mekach u'memkar, b'derech chalukah. You're allowed to weigh out your piece, connect the other guy's piece, which is what they were doing. That's not the same as Mekach u'Memkach. Omer Rav Yosef Aloch Rav Yoshua. I can show you that indeed we pass in that way from the Mishnah B'chores. Oh, it's not B'chores Kavateh. We could see in the Mishnah B'chores like him. What's the issue of B'chores to hear? We have a very similar case by weighing a B'chora. Now, Locha is normally where you have Psulei HaMukdashim. Normal Psulei HaMukdashim that has a mum, the original pidyon of such an animal goes to Hegdash. Obviously, the value that people are willing to pay for pidyon is according to how much it is that they're going to be able to make off the animal. It's if I could sell the animal in my butcher shop, I'm willing to pay more to Hegdish than if I'm only allowed to use it in my own, right? So, therefore, we were matir, even though it's something of a bizoyan of a kutchim, to go and have meat of kutchim hanging in a butcher shop, but since ultimately that's to the benefit of kutchim because people pay more for the pidyon, so we were matir buying and selling basar of Kedish. However, when it comes to Bukhar, who makes the money? Not Hegdish. Bukhar belongs to to the owner of the coin. So therefore, we're not going to be matter bizayin mekachim. What's the getter of the bizayin mekachim? Mederach mekach umemker. Now it says over there, nonetheless, in the Mishnah, the Tanan, psule hamukdashim handa atad lahegdesh. Normal psule hamukdashim, other than bechor meiser, although meiser has other problems, aser bechlav, but psule hamukdashim, since ultimately the hana goes to hegdesh. So fine. So we treat it that way, and therefore the end of the Mishnah is explained. This is the end of the Mishnah. I mean, it's not cluing you in on the whole thing. The first part of the Mishnah said that kops leyamukdashim nimkarim bitlis ishkalim bitlis. You're allowed to weigh them and sell them in a butcher shop. Why? So the Mishnah explains because hanatan lahegdash. But when it comes to bechor shoklin mona keneged mona bebechor, you are allowed to weigh one piece keneged another piece because that's not the derech of mekachumemka. So memela. I mean, if we see that it's matir and it's not a problem of bizoyin of kachim to use one piece connected another piece, so you see that the Mishnah is taken for granted. Rabbi Yeshua Shita. It makes perfectly good sense that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe would be samech on Rabbi Yeshua because, I mean, that's the Mishnah. Omalei Abaye, I understand. I don't see any comparison. The Din Malo, who said that maybe they could even reverse their Shitas between the Din of Bechor and the Din of Yav Chalukah? Because Ad Kam Lokam Rabbi Yeshua Acha. Although the lack of bizoyin kachim, all Rabbi Yeshua is saying over here is that when it comes to the problem of derech mekach umemkar, this is not derech mekach umemkar. So it is derech haluka. I mean, so therefore he's being moderate. But I mean, if there's an inyan of bizoyin kachim, maybe the etzem mishkal, even one piece connected another piece, which is derech haluka, is enough that it should be a bizoyin of kachim. How do you know that he wouldn't be more moderate? And vice versa also. Since lemaisa, what I'm doing over there is I'm selling in my butcher shop, right? Basically, maybe out of the back room, but I'm selling, and I'm doing a shinui in selling. Nobody sells by weighing meat, can I get meat? They weigh it, can I get the scale? So maybe over there, that's enough. In terms of bizoyin of kachim, it's enough to show that I'm being very careful. I'm not treating it stam like a piece of meat that I would in the butcher shop. But when it comes over here, it's not the way in which you would normally sell. And therefore, it's considered to be a shinui. Aval hacha, we're talking about chalukah. So it is a mefsik uvdin dechol. It is the way that you always do chalukah. So then, how are you allowed to do it? Maybe they would agree that you can't. In which case, there's no comparison between the two sugyas bechlap. Says the Rebbe, what are you saying? I mean, I don't quite understand what was the case. Okay, I hear the halacha. Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon by Rebbe, you're telling me we're sitting there making sure that your piece isn't bigger than my piece. You're telling me that those two people were marketed on one the other. It has to be exactly the same size that they should weigh it. One piece can egg it, the other piece. I could tell you a maisa shahoya. You're saying the name of the kapte habadi. Vahanu shav benita. Da'ata lebe Rebbe. I know a maisa shahoya. There was a 7 fish, yeah, that they brought into Rebbe. And they were mamish kishmaka fish, okay? Reb Chiya was a Talmud, and certainly didn't have, I mean, one would think, as many rights in the house as Reb Shimon, was Rebbe's son. Nonetheless, what happened? They found 5 of these fish in Reb Chiya's house, you understand? And they all sent to Rebbe. Reb Chiya made off with 5 of them. Kishmak. Poor Reb Shimon was left with 2 fish. Did you ever hear a word of complaint from Reb Shimon by Rebbe? Hey, come on, man, I mean, enough is enough. You take 1 fish, I mean, walking off with 5 fish. Velo kapti Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. This is an amazing Gemara. You don't see how amazing this Gemara is. You're talking about 2 gedalim that are gedalei eilam. Yeah, I mean, from the greatest of the greatest of Klal Yisrael. We need to bring a raya that they wouldn't have been makbid on one another from a maisa shaya that people remember actually happened. Because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. The normal response of a person of hakpades are exactly the same, no matter who you are. Fish. Exactly. What kind of business? This is my house. You're a guest. You walk up. Epis be a mensch. No, garnish not. It's not even Eila Bedaite. That's the Kapte Hadode. It's not because of the darg of the person that he wouldn't be mocked. It's that these two people were so close they wouldn't be mocked but one on the other. That's the point. Because the Gemara's Teretz, as we'll see in a minute, is not to say, well, there must be somebody else because these people were too big to be mocked. They weren't. Adarabba, says the Gemara, you're right. Apparently they were very close, so they wouldn't be makban on each other. Therefore, it says, Repapa Shidi Gavra Benayo. There's gotta be another person involved here. In other words, either it was Rabbi Chiya with Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi, who wasn't as close as Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, or it was Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe and Bar Kapora, who wasn't as close with him as was Rabbi Chiya. You're saying, you're telling me that these people would sit around measuring to make sure my portion's as big as your portion. Or would be makbid, you take an extra piece of fish. The gedorim of humanity are exactly the same. It's impossible to stress this enough. People have this weird sense that the human condition is somehow different, on different dargas. That's what I understand. This was a Nisayan, so and so. It's exactly the same thing. There's never any difference. Shaila is how you have to be Mizgaber, what you do, whether you're a Bali de Nisayan, and so on. But what the issues are, don't matter whether you're the lowest of the low or the highest of the highest. It's exactly the same. Unbelievable. All right, you're on there. Listen, you guys in Joburg, if Rabbi Yisrael is there, I hope he's well and doing okay. So maybe he can give you a real old-fashioned Zok the Hilik Mishnah. I mean, the way he used to stand in for us over here, when he comes back, he'll give us a job. Ein mashchizin et asakin biyom tov, aval mesia agabe chaverta. Here we come already to a different issue, which is related. Again, we're back in the butcher shop. The question is, can you sharpen a knife? So here it says you cannot sharpen a knife with a sharpener, but you can sharpen one knife against the other knife. At least you can rub one knife against the other knife. That's what they always do when they're ready to cut your knife. So Amar Rav Huna, lo shano ela b'mashchezet shalev, ela b'mashchezet shalev mutar. If l'maisa, he says in Mishnah in Mashchizin, it's talking about a real stone sharpener, which is made for that purpose, and that's really a real tikkun, the way you would do it during the week. But to use a piece of wood that you rub it against, now that's a wooden sharpener, so that would be okay. Furthermore, Reb Yudah says, look, the iser of a mashchezet shaleven is only when you're using the mashchezet for actual sharpening. Sometimes you rub a knife, not bederach the back and forth, that you do when you want to sharpen it, you rub it against its edge in order to get off any of the old oil residue that's on it. So lahavir sham nunit mutar, you would be allowed to use it to remove the oil from the knife, which implies mechlad b'shel eitz afilu l'chadadanani mutar. Here he's saying the only takpada that we have of the mishchezet shel even is if you're using it to sharpen mashpa, but the mishchezet shel eitz would be mutar even for sharpening. And yikad amati la sefer, as others say that what Reb Yudah was referring to was adarabba, was referring to the last part, which was b'shel eitz mutar. So there, according to this version, Reb Yehuda was being mach, but he was saying, when do we say be'etz mutar? Hod amr b'shel eitz mutar lo amr ala ha'avir sham nunita. You can use shel eitz in order to remove the oily residue from the knife. Aval l'chadada, you cannot use the wooden sharpener for sharpening. You can only use it for rubbing the knife so that you clean it from the residue. So michlal de shel even, afil la'avir sham nunita asur. According to this, you wouldn't be allowed to use the mishchezet shel even at all, even to remove the oil, because it's just the use of it is already uvda d'chol. Omer Rav Yehuda Shmuel. No, Ikan, sorry. Ikan Amasra Masnissen. Others have the Maimer of Rav Yehuda Shmuel going directly on the Mishnah and not on the Tikkun that Rav Huna made on the Mishnah to distinguish between the Shel Even and the Shel Eitz. And what he learned was like this in this version. The Mishnah says, Ein Mashkizinet Asakin B'yom Tov. So Rav Yehuda Shmuel says, Lo Shonu Elel Chadada, Aval Ha'avir Shamnu Nita Mutar. Since it's referring to the Mishnah, it's a continuation of the Mishnah that says, Aval Mesia Agabei Chaverta, that means to really sharpen it, Agabei Chaverta. So to give it that old back and forth, so that already is enough of a Shinoi. Whereas in this version, we have over here two versions, each of which has a subversion. There's an Ikedamasli and Ikedamasli in both versions, the Reish and the Seifa. In the first version, it was going on Rav Huna, the Seifa, and the second version, it's going in the Seifa, the Mishnah. So in this second version, then we would read it like this: the Mishnah says that you could sharpen or at least rub one knife against the other knife. To which Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said in this version, what can you do that to achieve? You can do that in order to clean the knife. So you can't do it in a way that actually brings chidud to the blades, which according to this version would mean that a mashchezet can't be used at all. would also be asur. You can't use it because it is. It already looks like uvda d'chol. Now, who would be the author of the whole problem? Because, I mean, basically what you're saying is that even though I need a kli, which is completely tzarech l'echol nefesh, I'm not allowed to do something to me b'taken that kli. Ah, so finally we get, I mean, the Miram is all to the Masechet, to the Machlokas Rebino Nechachomim that's coming. We finally get to the Machlokas Rebino Nechachomim about whether the din of lachem includes even machshirei l'echol nefesh or l'chol tzarech, or whether lachem is dafka l'echol nefesh itself. So if I'm dealing with the food, at some level, I'm cooking the food, I'm kneading the food, whatever it is, that's okay. But something which I'm doing in order to be able to do to the food, that apparently the Mishnah is saying is not okay, because otherwise why am I mastering something I need to use on, you know, I have to cut a piece of meat properly, or I'm making a carpaccio, I need a very sharp knife. So how am I supposed to make it if I can't sharpen my knife? So who's this man, the Omer? Omer of Chista. Well, it's clearly not Rabbi Yehuda. There was a sashita of the Chachomim Keneged Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Ein Bein Yom Tov. The truth is, this is a Mishnah we have later on, but we have in Shabbos. Should say the Tanan. Ein Bein Yom Tov the Shabbat, Elo Ochel Nefesh Bilvad. And Rabbi Yehuda always says, no, that's not true. Even Machshirei Ochel Nefesh is a distinguishing element between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Just like you're allowed to be Isaac in Ochel Nefesh and do a Malacha, you could do even Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. And we'll see later on that the distinction that we had in terms of things that are mutter that could have been done Erev Yontev, that's what Tosus is so upset with Rashi all the time. That's where it appears in Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda is in Matir Machshirim that were Efshir Lasotam Mi'Erev Yontev. But in Machshirei Ochel Nefesh itself, we never saw this dynasty. Rashi always assumes that it would be the same distinction, which is the reason that we were matur only from Lisha onwards, why we asked earlier doing Maisim of Ktsira and so on. That's because they all could have been done before. Omar le Rava le Rav Chista. So Rava said to Rav Chista, the way you're saying this is that, well, the Mishnah's like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, you could have said the Mishnah's going like the Chachamim. Would it be right to say that Darshinan Mishimcha halacha Rabbi Yehuda? So could we say that the halacha really is like Rabbi Yehuda? This Mishnah shalali but Rabbi Yehuda. Omar le. So Rav Chista said, let me tell you something. Anything that is so yummy like that, you're welcome to say my name at any time. It happens to exactly be the fact. So every time you say something true, I'm perfectly happy to stand behind you. Just quote me on it. Omer of Nechemia, brother of Yosef, Havi Kaimna Kameda Rava. I can tell you, I was standing in front of Rava. Vadi Kamaava Lasakina Pumedikula. He, on Yontif, was rubbing a knife on the edge of a basket, which was the equivalent of a mashchezet shel eitz, basically. So I asked him, Amrilal chavidal kavid mar laver shamnunita. Why are you doing that? Are you doing that in order to sharpen the knife, which would mean that you're paskening like Rabbi Yehuda? Or are you doing it only to clean off the knife? So he tells me, no, I'm doing it only to clean the knife. Laver shamnunita. But I could see he was lying. I was watching him carefully, and I saw the way he was sort of meramis to me, that actually he was doing it l'chadad. So what was he trying to tell me, basically? He was trying to tell me, that really the din is like Rabbi Yehuda. And if you know the halacha, then you can follow Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha, and so on and so on. However, you can't be meira halacha Rashi. There's big machlok, very big machlokas in here. What does that mean, halacha vein morin ken? Halacha in morin to whom? Halacha vein morin. Rashi says halacha vein morin l'rabi. So that the issue over here was, they asked Reb Chista, Darshinan, can we actually say it barabi? And he said, absolutely. So it comes on the Gemara to say, but Rava didn't want to be martyred as a Hirala Rabbi. So the way that he was Baramis, and he didn't want it to be Nidrash, was by pretending that he was doing it for Shamnunis, he was doing it in the open. So he told me, even though he understood, he winked at me, basically, I saw that he was doing it. But he didn't want it that it should be that he was saying that it's mutter. That's how Rashi understands it.
This thing he was rubbing it on was only a basket, wasn't it?
Yeah. Why is this true? Why are we concerned not to be Meira Halacha? Because since Lemaisa, you have to judge the circumstances and see whether this is considered to be a Machshir Yechol Nefesh, Shef Shalat, Soto Merav Shalat, that Merav Yom Tov. We can't allow that. Everybody should be, but they're not going to be able to make the distinctions. I mean, for instance, Mishchezet Sakin, I mean, I knew you could sharpen the knife before. before Yantav also. I mean, why, if we're being mad to that, so where are we going to draw the line? So it's, the point is, I'm not b'chuyif to be ma'aleh b'dati, the dafka on Yantav, it's going to be too blunt, and I'm not going to be able to use it. You're using an instrument. Obviously, you could say, I better sharpen it just in case it gets dull. I mean, but that I don't have to. I don't have to say just in case. Only if something was in a matzav in which I already felt that it needed to be done. So therefore, it's material. Others learn halacha vein meirin kain. And this seems to say that it's brought, I guess the Rambam Pasuk is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So he holds that, whatever, he held obviously that hayro was, his hayro was hayro ein meirin kain. If he's going to pass it, maybe that's because he held that was mamish darshina. But lemaisa, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, the place of Shulchan Aruch Harav anyway, is that Odom Shabalish Ol Ein Marin Lo Hetter, like that. What does that mean? If somebody is coming to ask you what the din is, you don't tell him it's mutter. So in other words, if the person himself knows the halacha, according to that, he can rely on that halacha. Or there's an interesting, there's a marsham, there's a whole maisa that was brought to the marsham, right? The rav of the year had been mutter something, and they tied it was the same thing as a rav, like Rabbi Yehuda. The marsham came up with a very interesting distinction of Ein Marin Din. He said, if a person is coming to ask you a halacha about Rabbi Yehuda, that was the maisa there, because he already knew that the din is that halacha of Ein Marin Din. So he wanted to know whether opening a barrel in certain ways was something that was Efshalah Seisamer of Yantar, not Efshalah Seisamer of Yantar. So once he himself is asking you a din, knowing the din of Rabbi Yehuda, of course you're allowed to be Meir Halacha to him, because he already knows Halacha's Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha of Ein Marin Din is the question of whether the person's asking you, am I allowed to do Makshir Yechel Nefesh Yantar? But if he knows the Halacha, he knows the Halacha. All right. I mean, this is how far we go with Halacha of Ein Marin Din in terms of one's personal anhog is big machlokas.
All those who learn the Gemara, went to Daf Yomi, are allowed to
according to that, ain't a finami. You're not asking the halacha, you know the halacha, so if you know the halacha, do the halacha. The Omer Abaye, another mice. Abaye says, yeah, but hora'ah is something that can be used by people who don't understand the learning. There's the technology of it. You know, you turn on your laser player. It doesn't mean you know anything about what you're doing. Unfortunately, many physicists do the same thing. You know, they have a little cookbook. They put in they call it the quantum cookbook. You know, put in your values in the formula, and out pops the answer. You know what you're talking about. Yeah, exactly. So that's what a lot of paiskim, you know, the paiskim. It says so in the book, you know, and they pop out with the answer. They don't have any idea what they're talking about. So you have to be careful what you allow in the spark notes, you know, the cliff notes. Especially the Shulchan Aruch, it's the cliff notes. Salaman notes? Yeah.
My grandfather wrote at least one more cliff note they're using as
a rule. Really? Salaman notes?
Yeah.
Wow. For what? Shakespeare? Economics?
Israeli authors.
Yeah. Safaruk. Very nice. Yeah. So, all right. So then you're not the black sheep of the family after all. Good. Another mice, which Abaye says, Avakim da kameh de mar, there was clearly a girsa in which he said, Avakim da kameh de Rabbi Yosef, because some of the Rishonim asked a kasha on Rabbi Yosef from Rabbi Yosef's sack just a few lines down from this. But Lamaisa, with our girsa, could be it was referring to Rabbi. So he was Avakim Aaber, Sakina Svata de Rechaya. He was rubbing a knife over the edge of a grindstone. And I asked him, what are you doing that for? So he says with a little wink there, la la'avisham nunita. I saw clearly that what he really wanted to was l'chadet ha'kavi. So he was showing me, basically. Can you take, we know that there's a din. Every sheikhet obviously has to check his knife to make sure that there's no pegim in the sake. We made a takona, that is really takona because of kvodo shokhocha, that you have to be mara one time. When you start the shrit, you have to be mara that day to the chokh. The shaylak is, can you do that on yontav? Isn't it interesting? Balamor, who learns that the problem over here is similar to the question of can you be mara a mumcha, mum on a bukhar? Because it's like, it's since they were koveyed in that fashion, it's not just to describe the facts, the sakin does or does not have a pegima, because anybody can do that. The reason that you need the chachama ear is because it's sort of like a psak of bezdin. So since we were koveyed like that, so maybe it should be the same gezera that we had in the inum and amulchan, as Rashi's gives, something like that. You can't do on yontif. That's not how the other rishonim. Rashi learns that it's a getter of afsha milta. Afsha milta means when something attracts attention, makes too much noise, either literally feeling or in terms of the impact of the act. And this is like exactly what you do every day. Chacham walks in, everybody stands, they present the sakinin. What is that? It's not a normal day in which you're busy in the store. So therefore, the question is, can you actually be mara, or do you have to do that from before? So there, the shaila was Rav Mori Breder of business said it's mutter, and the rabbanan said no, you can't do it. So Rav Yosef says the eitza is what you could do is Talmud Chacham Royal Atzma. So Talmud Chacham anyway it would be Royal Atzma. So in his own home, he takes a look at his own sakin, and then if somebody needs the shecht, he lends them his personal sakin, so he can then take his sakin and mashila l'acherim. Vom Rav Yosef, sakin she'amda. We have a knife that turned blunt on yontav. Mutar l'chadada b'yontav. Then you'd be allowed to sharpen it, because even though, I mean, obviously it wasn't suddenly, you know, I mean, it's a gradual process. Nonetheless, as Rashi says, you don't have to work out in your mind that it's holding at that point that I'm no longer going to be able to use it on yontav. But that's davka v'hani mili. The paska agav duchka. I could still use it by pressing, and you just need to press absurdly hard on it. And it's like my challah knives. So okay, then you're not making a new kli. I mean, but if it doesn't even do that, so then some learn that it's mamish like a siyas kli, which is aser. Some learn, Rashi learns, because it's too much tircha. Because even when we were matir, there's separate issues. There's matir in terms of the malacha, and then there's matir in terms of things that are tircha. We have a number of different issues that we've seen, and we need to take into consideration a lot of elements. Tircha versus tircha yetera. Uvde dechol versus doing things with the shinui. Efshe la'asota me'erev Yom Tov versus not. Hayetzorech la'asuki adaite from before Yom Tov that this would happen versus something that doesn't have to be. Asuki adaite. A shinui, or a change rather, in the matzav of the kli that is so much that a tikkun kli would be like a malocha gemura in terms of making it from the beginning rather than hashchaza, which over there were not matir, and so on and so forth. Obviously, in the machlok is reviewed in the chachomi. Then the question of whether it's halacha, but halacha vein marin came. A lot of different elements that are coming into psak just on one issue that are all being introduced here on the daf. Dorish Rav Chista, Mitamer of Yosef. Echad sakin shenivgema, v'yachad shapud shenirtzam, v'yachad grifat tanur v'kirayim b'yom tov. If you're in a matzev where your knife has gotten a pegima in it, and now you can't chat, or you've got a shapud, you've got a spit, which has broken off its edge now, and now you have a problem that you can't use it for poking through the meat into the hole on the other side, so now you want to cut off the edge now and make a new edge for it, or a grifat tanur v'kirayim, often when you make a tanur v'kirayim, you have pieces of tit that you, as those of us who bake matzahs together know, every year, the first five runs, the matzah is full of pieces of stone and so on that have come down from the top of the tanur. The grief is to get all of that out together with any remaining ash and so on. You take that out of the tanur, so that it could be that he didn't realize me ba'od yom. Yesterday, this stuff continued to fall during the night and realized that some of the top had collapsed. All of these issues are banu l'machloket Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. This is basically the real machlokas. Can you do something on yontif which is not directly for the ochlin, but is necessary in order to be able to get the ochlin? Titania. Ein ben yom tov l'shabbat el ochel nefesh bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda matirach machir ochel nefesh. Again, we keep saying titania because in we bring it also in Brayta. But l'maisa, those particular words is also we have in the mission. My time in the Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama say not machshir ochel nefesh? The pasuk says beferish. Hu levado yaseh lachem. What do you think hu levado means? It says ach asher yeachel ochel nefesh. Hu levado. So it's right. It and only it. In other words, who v'lo machshirav? That which is necessary, asher yeachel, doesn't mean something that is necessary for what will be eaten. It says that which will be eaten. That means you're being Isaac in the food. You're cooking, you're shechting, whatever, but you're holding the food. It's asher yeachel. Not you're holding a piece of metal to make it into something that can cut the food. So it's who v'lo machshirav. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, so then why does it say yaseh lachem? Could just say yaseh, do it. No, what's the lachem? So lachem adds l'chol tzorchechem. Anything you need to do, even if it's a step before, is also mutter. Oh, that's a good point, actually. Tanakama, k'tiv lachem, what do they do with the fact that it says lachem? Lachem means something else. We saw already before. Ahu lachem means lachem v'lo l'nachrim, or maybe lachem v'lo l'klovim, or we had Mount Locusin before. But it's talking about for whom, but it's not coming to say for any purposes of that whom. How do you know that? Vidach Nami, and indeed, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the fact that it says, who, it's a hula vado, eat, what did he just say? Just say, achasheyach elachol nefesh yaseh. What's the hula vado? So, what's that mean? Amalacha, says Rabbi, oh, here's where I know that there's a difference between something you could have done before Yom Tov or not. Because on one hand, the Torah is saying, who? It says, dafka, the thing itself. And the other thing, on the other hand, it says, lachem, which was the chotzer chayfer. So what are you going to say? Lokasha, must be the Torah is telling us. Kan b'machshirin shefshala sotan me'er of Yom Tov. Something you could have done before, that's not asheyach elachol nefesh. But something, she'yev shala sotan me'er of levada, that's lachem. Do I need, in order to eat, I need to do this? Then the Torah is being matir. Omer of Yiram Shmuel, the case that we had was a shapud shenirtzam. But don't confuse that with a shapud shenirtzaf. Nirtzaf is a lotion of ritzah. Somebody trampled over it. So basically now it's not straight, but it's still usable. Yeah, no, the whole thing is now akum. Okay, that you can't be betaken on yonta, even though it's obviously it happened today, so I couldn't have done it before. But it's something that's it's usable right now. I like it that it should be straight. I mean, what's the big deal? So I should be able to. So therefore, I can't be metake. So tircha, here's a new issue, which is tircha shelol tzara. Because we have tircha yitira, and we have tircha shelol tzara. There's a tircha shelol tzara. Does it mean pshita? No, it's not pshita, because lo tzrich afakav b'mafshit b'yodeh. Look, if somebody stepped on it, all I need to do is pull on it and give it a little twang with my fingers. I can make it straight. That's how tircha b'chlal. Kamash malan, then anything that you need to do, an extra step, is tircha shelol tzara. It doesn't matter how much it takes out of you. It doesn't need to be done. Don't do it. All that is part of the shinuyim for you. That we try to do our best to make Yantav different and unique, even though we're going to be doing these things. We don't do things as if they're being done for the Rabbim. We don't do things that are extra tircha. We don't do things that could have been done before, and so on and so forth. Therefore, comes the Talmi Yechidish. Even something as light as that is also called tircha shelol tzara. Yom Rav Yoram Shmuel. Another interesting halacha is that shapud shetzalo biyom tbo basar asulatato biyom. Once you use the spit, you can no longer carry it, because now it's disgusting. So now it would be muktzamach mesmos. It could be everybody is made that muktzamach mesmos would be awesome. Okay, others, I mean, there's a lot of different ways of understanding this, but why are we stressing that? Shabud, we're talking about ka'aris. So ka'aris are also disgusting once you finish eating in your chont. I mean, it's pleasant. The rumatir taking it away because of gerev shari. I mean, so what's an afkamin? I mean, what are we stressing that? Shabud. The question over here, are these reusable shabudim or not? Some rishonim say we're talking over here. Shapud means you took a piece of wood, shaped good enough, and you used it. So now that it's finished, it's disgusting already. You're going to throw it out. So therefore, you can't even move it. Others, Tosfos suggests, that we'll see in a minute. Tosfos suggests that at this point, it no longer has teras kli. Since it's disposable, you basically were only using it one time, it loses its teras kli. If it loses its teras kli, then even Rabbi Shimon is made it. That it's awesome. I mean, otherwise, we get into the question of why is this being said over your kipshutai, to which, again, and others respond, what we said earlier in the Masechta, when it comes to Yontav, we're machmer on Muktzah. Because otherwise people would be more makel. So on Shabbos, even though we paskah like Rabbi Shimon, but on Yontav, we paskah like Rabbi Yehuda. So what's over there? Say, Sam, so you're like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe it was. Okay, so there's a lot of different approaches over here, exactly what the problem is. Maybe it doesn't have to ask Lee, maybe it's Muktzah, machmer is most. But in any event, he says you can't do anything with it. So Ravada Barava quotes Rav Malkio as saying, well, let's not say you can't do anything with it. Shomto u'minicho b'keren zavit. There's a machlokis, what exactly shomto u'minicho b'keren zavit. Rashi learns the issue of shomto is that you do things not as a real tilt. In other words, you sort of drag it off and throw it to the side, which is not the way you normally handle a kli, and therefore it's considered to be tilto minatzad. So you say, being matir, tilto minatzad. Others learn shomto means kipshuto. Shomto, take it out of the meat while you're holding it, and you can put it down wherever you want. It's like any other muktzah, even if it wouldn't have to escalate. Since you had to take it out of the meat, so you could put it down even in a keren zavit. You don't have to throw it down in the middle of the house. Omer of Chia Barashi, Omer of Unav, Ushi Yesh Alav Kizayit Basar. This is Dafke, if it has, or Malka is being marked here, if it has Kizayit Basar on it. So then you can move it because it has the meat, so it's considered still to be something that's like, what do you call those little, you know, the, yeah, like a shish kebab thing. Okay. okay, so you use it to, that's sort of slobbish, but it does have some meat still left on it. So then you'd be allowed to move it. Whereas Ravina Amafa Pishenalav Basar Mutra Tata. What's the problem over here, says Ravina? We know the din of Midat Avia Kotz per Shusarab. You have something that can hurt somebody in the middle of a Shusarab, and it's Muktzah, or there's a problem of a Chashash that you'll be metal to Larvam, it's more Narvam, it's Shusarab. Normally we don't allow you to move things a little bit, stop, move things a little bit and stop, and maybe you'll end up moving it more than Arba Amis, you go over Nisa Derisa. Where it's Nogea, somebody may be getting hurt on it, a piece of glass, a bottle breaks, Shusarab. You're allowed, both in terms of Muks and in terms of Tilto, to be over on what would otherwise be a Derabban in order to get it out of the way of the public. So over here, to have a spit in your house where some of the kids can fall over and get stuck on it or whatever, so therefore you're allowed to move it away. What do you need to have a Kazayas Basar on it? Some learn that this is direct. In other words, he's saying, forget the whole thing that we said until now. You can move it normally. Others learn that he's going back now on the heter to move it shompto, which is not normal. It's kelach yad. That's lemais, interestingly. That's the way it's brought, it seems, in the Shulchan Aruch, from the Lashon. So they're mechalek that maybe in a chinami, it's an afkamina. In Rosh Hashanah, in which they gave the rabbim, they were matu afilu kedarka, as long as you don't come to an isidi raisa. In the house, where it's something that's gave the people in the home. So you can do it, but here also you have to do it minatzad. He's just saying that you don't need any other excuse, that there should be busser on it or so on. Just move it to get it out of the way.
Build your hand, and everybody agrees.
That's the other pshat.